This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It was a dynamite traffic report. Just driving in circles. What do I do? I don't know. I only get my traffic information from this radio station. What do I do? Two things before we're joined by Charlie Batch. They will be very quick. Some of you know, so we're 610 Sports Radio. There's a radio station in Houston called Sports Radio 610. I would just randomly get called an idiot for things that they said. Like, I get called an idiot enough for things that I say on this show. I don't want to be called an idiot for something they're talking about on their show. And there's a lot of dumb things that are happening down there in Houston. Don't throw me in the middle of that. The second thing is, Rob, I need your official ruling. Can we block this person? Hey, guys, I have a gut feeling that Josh Gordon is going to have like 9 postseason touchdowns this year. I mean, come on now.
You know my feelings.
I mean, if that's the kind of stuff that you're sending here, you might have just lost the privilege of the text line. 9? Okay. All right. Fella.
I'm just trying to keep my cool. It's a Josh Gordon take, and I'm staying calm, relaxed, and saying it's a bad take.
No, you're just going to start yelling for no reason. He just hate Josh Gordon. He hasn't done anything to you or anybody. Let's go to the phone line right now to be joined by our next guest. He is a 2-time Super Bowl champion. He played for the Pittsburgh Steelers from 2002 to 2012. He went to Eastern Michigan. We're very happy to be joined right now by Charlie Batch. Charlie, how's it going, man?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Now, our pregame and postgame host for the station, he wants me to ask you about you offering up $1 million for quarterbacks. I'm just wondering, is there a chance that you would offer me $1 million to go to whatever school you want me to play quarterback? Because I'm happy to do it.
Hey, if you're going to Eastern Michigan, hey, we can have that conversation.
All right. I don't know if I'm a 5-star caliber, but I think I'm like a sneaky 3-star that, like, with your coaching, I could maybe get to like a high 4.
Hey, I mean, if it's in your mind, you are what you are. I mean, don't let anybody put a label on you and say you're a 3-star. If you think you're a 5-star, you got to go out there and convince everybody.
Okay. All right. See, I like your ability. I like that you believe in my athletic ability. Now, I, you know, if you guys got Caleb Williams to come to Eastern Michigan, I will help donate to that fund because it will be the biggest story in college football in the last like 15 years. So I'm certainly hoping that's the decision that he makes. Right now, we're joined by Charlie Batch joining us on the show today. Let's just start with this. What have the last 3 weeks been like for you guys just covering the Steelers? Because not many quarterbacks sort of have that send off. It didn't get that. Favre didn't get it. Montana didn't get it. You typically don't get to say goodbye to your home fans in the way that Ben Roethlisberger did, but then you kept playing and they also made the playoffs. What have the last 3 weeks or so been like for the Steelers?
Well, 99% of the players don't get to go off the way that they hope to go off. So, you know, it was pretty cool to see the fans, you know, send off then for that final home game. And it was a packed house during that time. And it was very emotional for everybody involved because 18 years, man, he's done so much around here in Pittsburgh and deserved that you know, that send off in the manner that he got. But I think overall in the last three weeks, it's been tough because, you know, in my mind going into it, and I was stating it publicly, I said, listen, in order for the Steelers to make the playoff, they're going to have to win their last four, and that included the Kansas City game. Obviously, they got thumped down there, and then the way that everything unfolded, having to beat the Browns, having to beat the Ravens in those final 2 weeks and needing these other things to happen, it was only about less than 10% chance of that happening. So there were a lot of people in Pittsburgh really thinking that our season was over after that Baltimore game, but lo and behold, the Colts were knocked off by Jacksonville, and it changed the whole dynamics of what everything was talking about heading into that Sunday night game. So it's been a whirlwind over the last 3 weeks, that's for sure.
You know Ben Roethlisberger as well as anybody. You played behind him. I'm sure he's a friend of yours. How much do you think he has left in the tank? Because on one side, they had 7 game-winning drives at the end of the game. So Big Ben, if he still really needs to, can kind of dial back and make a couple of plays. And I would say every game, he makes 1 or 2 throws. I'm like, that reminds me of the Ben Roethlisberger of old. And then sometimes he just looks like old Ben Roethlisberger. How much do you think he has left in the tank?
Yeah, he still has a lot left in the tank. A lot of it just comes down to how his body is recovering. Now, the cool part is Mike Tomlin, over the last probably 8 or 9 years, have always given him that veteran Wednesday off to try to keep him fresh and make sure he's fresh towards the end of the season. So that's worked to his benefit there. But I think ultimately kind of what you're seeing, you know, yes, he can make the throws. Unfortunately, in Matt Canada's offense, you don't see those particular throws because it's a completely different offense of what you've seen in the past. So that's why you hear a lot of people saying that he can't make those throws. But if you put him in a 2-minute situation in the manner he's done an entire career, he's third all time in 4-quarter comebacks, you see him continuously doing that. And those are things that are very impressive. And that's why that's why they're in the playoffs in that manner. And that's why ultimately, you know, it's important for them to keep this game close on Sunday, giving them a chance in the 4th quarter, because that's when Ben is at his best.
Right now we're talking to Charlie Batch, former quarterback in the National Football League, played for the Steelers from 2002 to 2012. You follow the team very closely. What's the status of the offensive line? Because I think from the outside looking in, a lot of people blame some of the offensive problems that the Steelers have had this year on their offensive line. Najee Harris only averaging 3.9 yards per carry. The issues that we're talking about a little bit with Ben Roethlisberger. Where is that O-line at today?
Yeah, I think right now, I mean, it's still a work in progress, which is crazy after 18 weeks. You know, Najee Harris, he went over 1,000 yards. Great for him, knowing that the Steelers were at the bottom of the league in rushing. A lot of this, the issues all came about early on in the year because Zach Banner was a projected left tackle. He was injured in training camp. It created a whole shuffle of that offensive line. There were multiple people up front, so there was not a consistent group that was lining up week after week. And then when you look at where they are now over the last few weeks, Kendrick Green, the starting center that was there, he went out with the injury. Jason Ostenhauer, he had to fill in. And all of a sudden, Adrian Clem, the offensive line coach, he leaves. You have a replacement coming in. And it seems like now that they are starting to kind of gel in that manner. So it's, you know, it's cool from that particular perspective, but they know there's not a lot of depth behind what they currently have right now. So it's very important for the projected 5 that are starting in this particular playoff game that they remain healthy, because if they are, then, you know, that allows Ben Roethlisberger to stay upright.
I love Najee Harris coming out of Alabama, still very high on his ability. We're talking about the offensive line. I think that's led to some of the issues that we've seen with Najee Harris this year. I saw that he was battling some injuries. I read a story earlier today. He got a shot in his elbow, which sounds like an incredibly painful thing to have to endure. What's his status for Sunday night?
Yeah, that was an ugly injury, and that happened on really the first, second, or third down play of the game for Najee, and he missed the majority of the first half, came back middle of the second half, and nobody expected him to come back, but a lot of it was really whether he was able to wear a knee elbow sleeve on that particular arm, but he couldn't bend it, and those were things that he was having issue with. They ended up kind of doing a tape job. He was able to enter back into that game. Now this week, Mike Tomlin has allowed him the opportunity to rest. He is listening to his comments. He fully expects to play. But if I'm Kansas City on the other side, yeah, you're definitely going to test that elbow to see if he's able to protect the football. And that's something I'm going to be paying attention to early in the game.
We've been having this conversation in Kansas City. How many points do you think Pittsburgh's offense can score? So not talking about defensive touchdowns, special teams touchdowns. How many points do you think Pittsburgh's offense can score on Sunday?
I'm going with the average on what they've done the entire year, probably less than 20. So there's no way that they can afford to get into a shootout in this particular game because they just don't have the firepower to do so. They've really struggled in the first half. That really has gotten them, you know, into, you know, horrible situations as it relates to the leads that they had to overcome. And this is going to be something that Matt Canada has to fix. And it's been an issue throughout the entire year that they struggled to score in the first half. And also struggling to score in the first half and yet to utilize the middle of the field. So, of course, if you're Kansas City, you're going to say, okay, if we can get on top of them early, defend that the outside and where the Steelers try to take advantage of it. We know they don't throw inside. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the Steelers now recoup the second time around. And it's going to be interesting to see if one of these two receivers outside of Deontay Johnson, can step up and make a play down the field.
Because Mitch Holtz's voice of the Chiefs, he came on the show with us on Monday and said that Kansas City is 49-3 in which games in which they keep their opponent under 30 points, that sometimes breaking these games down is really simple and we make them more complicated than it needs to be. That do you think Team A can score? And at least with Pittsburgh, I got respect for T.J. Watt. I got respect for Cam Hayward. They got a lot of great pieces on defense. I love Minka Fitzpatrick. He's one of my favorite players to watch in the National Football League. I just don't know if they on offense can score enough to win this game. So to me, that's what really creates a lot of the any given Sunday scenarios. Well, you got to force turnovers. Well, you got to run a kickback. Well, you got to do those things. Well, then every team loses in that scenario. But what's the most likely outcome? So that's why I think at least here locally and nationally, I think some of the disregard and disrespect from the Steelers come from is I just don't know how many points they can score in a matchup like this.
Well, the Kansas City defense has given up 30 points a game, and the Steelers hit that number. Everybody around Steelers Nation will be excited because they hit that number, and they've rarely hit that number this year. So it's just been frustrating to kind of watch this team unfold because things that we've been accustomed to are no longer happening at this point. So I just don't think that they will win in the shootout if, for whatever reason, they had to score more than 30 points.
Charlie, you've seen a lot of great defensive players in your day. How great is T.J. Watt?
Man, he is unbelievable. I mean, he's a guy that is deserving of every penny that he received on that contract. And everybody around Pittsburgh, you know, knows what he's capable of doing over the last 2 years. Arguably could have been a defensive player of the year, and that's no disrespect to Stephon Gilmore and Aaron Donald. Those two guys are great in their right mind. But where TJ is at, and he had 21.5 sacks this year, missed 2.5 games already, and still to get to that number, that, you know, that you got to put the rest of the nation on notice that this guy is no longer in the shadows of his brother, JJ Watt. He is now creating his own career and has done so over the last 6 or 7 years, man. It's just been 6 years. It's been very impressive to watch him go about his business because this man, he is as humble as can be, and he only wants one thing, and that is to win.
It was funny because we had a guest on earlier this week, and the way he was describing T.J. Watt, one of the texters said, this guy's making T.J. Watt sound like Derek Thomas. And I'm like, I don't think he's Derek Thomas, but he's an all-time great pass rusher in the same vein that Derek Thomas was. When you watch T.J. Watt, who does he remind you of? Is there anybody that kind of pops out to you?
Man, it's kind of tough because he's like a combination of, you know, Joey Porter when he was here, then also James Harrison. He's not as short a stature as what James did in bulky, but, man, he can actually get low and get around that corner in the manner that James Harrison did. So he was fortunate enough to learn from him his rookie year as James Harrison was here. So I think ultimately, you know, the biggest question for TJ coming into this year was he able to do this without Bud Dupree? Because Bud Dupree has been there for so long, he left free agency to go to the Tennessee Titans. But, man, he continued to dominate in his manner. So it was very important for Alex Highsmith, who stepped into the role of Bud Dupree, to now come into his own and stop that, command those double teams on that side. And he was able to do that throughout the course of the year, so it freed up T.J. Watt. But ultimately, it starts with T.J., and I tell you, the person who's benefiting from all of those two, or both of those two, is Cam Hayward, because now he gets one-on-one in the middle, and you see what he's capable of doing as he's creating disruption up front.
So I had a good friend text me during the break a couple of minutes ago and said that Mike Tomlin is the biggest advantage that Pittsburgh has in this game. I think it's T.J. Watt because he's the second-best defensive player in the league behind Aaron Donald, but I think Tomlin's one of the 5 best coaches in the league. What do you think makes Tomlin so great? Because from the outside looking in, I think this Steelers team is probably like a 6-win or 7-win team with some of their problems offensively. I think Tomlin's great enough to add 1 or 2 wins to it, and that right there is the difference in making or missing the playoffs. What makes Tomlin so great in your mind?
Well, I think he's a great motivator. And I think, you know, depending on what stage you are in your career, he knows how to push your buttons. And it's just always great to see it. I mean, you're in a room and somebody that can have, you know, being able to, you know, spread their message clear, concise, and be able to get their point across, and the players are still buying in. That is special by itself. But you remember this, the Steelers team started out 1-3, and he was able to get those guys to regroup and got them to 500 and ultimately to the playoffs. So I think ultimately when you look at just the respect factor, yes, people are starting to notice, which is crazy after 15 years, of what he's capable of doing. But I think if you ask Mike Tomlin in this particular matchup who has the upper hand, he probably would look at Andy Reid because it's the manner that he's done so throughout his entire career. And I think everybody respects him for what he's doing in Kansas City, but everybody knows what he did in Philadelphia, even though he wasn't able to get him over the hump. But man, Andy Reid is one person that I'm a huge fan of.
So last thing here, Charlie, and I appreciate your time. These are the things that I think need to happen in order for Pittsburgh to pull off an upset. I think TJ Watt needs at least 2 sacks. I think Pittsburgh needs to force at least 3 turnovers. I think they need 1 non-offensive touchdown. On Monday, if you're talking about one of the biggest upsets in the history of the league, what needs to happen in order for Pittsburgh to come into Kansas City and win?
Well, I'm going to your third point. It has to be a non-offensive touchdown that happens. And then also to the second point of that, when you talked about the turnovers, it doesn't have to be 3. It has to be at least 2, given the offense of the Steelers, a short field, that they're able to punch it in for a touchdown. I think if those particular situations happen, I think storylines on Monday will be, yes, huge upset in Kansas City, where not many people outside of Steelers Nation thought they even had a chance.
Last thing here, actually, Charlie, I'd lie. I have one more question left. Where would you put Arrowhead in places that you played in your career?
Oh, that is an awesome place. One of the loudest stadiums, natural environments that you know is going to be loud. Of course, we know about the fake crowd noise and those type of things in indoor facilities. But, man, they are serious down there in Arrowhead. And I think this is something that, you know, I always enjoyed the fact of going in there. And I just remember telling players who have been there for the first time, number one, it's super loud. Number two, man, I love when they play the national anthem. And everybody at that point says, jeez, at the end of it. It sends a shockwave through your body, when you're hearing that. So it's a special place. People know that. It's obviously a part of history. And it has been the fans in Kansas City, man, they are truly, right now they are getting to that point of understanding and appreciation of what they truly are. Now you see everything kind of evolving with Patrick Mahomes. So it's pretty cool to see. I'm glad they're back at the top.
That is 2-time Super Bowl champion Charlie Batch joining us on the show today. He played from the Steelers from 2002 to 2012, still does work in Pittsburgh. Charlie, really appreciate you coming on today, man. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.